And this is really like the core, the checking account, the thrift savings plan, the brokerage, and your emergency savings fund that's in a high-yield savings account. And you've successfully set up the accounts you need to get started working towards building wealth, securing your retirement, and having the peace of mind and financial security of an emergency savings fund. Welcome to Service and Wealth, the podcast dedicated to helping military personnel master their finances and achieve financial freedom. Our mission is to guide you through the ins and outs of planning, saving, and investing, and most importantly, how to balance savings so you can enjoy life now and retire with confidence. Welcome back. So today is our fifth week of the podcast, which, you know, it feels like we were just here and we kind of were. We're doing an early Monday morning kind of makeup podcast last week to stay on track. And, you know, this week we're back on track as promised. And we've done that despite it being a totally crazy week. And you know, obviously life happens. And one of the biggest challenges is trying to stay on track, not just from the practical stuff, the day to day, but also just keeping your mind straight and not letting the curveballs that life throws at you, you know, just get you down, basically, right? You know, it's all about resilience. And, you know, at least in the Marine Corps, we talk a lot about that with our young Marines. And I think a generation ago, we probably didn't spend too much time, you know, talking about mental health and mental resilience and how you go through stressful times. We just kind of figured we were all tough enough to do it. And we started to realize, like, that's not really the case, you know, and even to this day, gosh, it's been over a decade since that, like, the 22 push-ups a day campaign started on Facebook way back. You know, we were all still at war in Afghanistan, and a lot of us still in Iraq when suicides hit that level, and, you know, they're still going, right? And so, well, I think it's just important to take a moment and just say, like, make sure you check in with yourself and check in with your buddies, your friends, your family. You know, and if you haven't seen it, you can go on YouTube, and Australia put out a really good commercial. You just put, like, Australia suicide commercial, and it's two mates who are going to a footy match, Australian rules football, for those of you who aren't familiar with the term. And it just shows them, like, week after week showing up for the matches. And the one guy he's always looking down and depressed and distraught. The other guy's upbeat and cheering. And there's word, you know. And then at the end, the empty seat is the guy who outwardly looked like he was happy and doing great. And so, you know, just remember when you look around, not to just check in on your buddies who might be outwardly looking like they're struggling, but check in on everybody, because everybody's got a different way of dealing it. And a lot of people who are struggling can mask it really well. So yeah, let's, you know, just check up on each other. And I realize that's a tangent and that's a little ways off, but, We started the brand and the channel and the podcast in June, and we just missed May. And May is the national month of awareness for mental health. Sorry, not just military, but for everybody's mental health. And when you have what really amounts to an epidemic of suicide and mental health problems in the military, active, reserve, veteran, all of us, you know, we don't need to wait till May. Or wait for May every year to talk about it and promote it. We don't need to wait for annual training. And, you know, I guess to start tying this all back around, you know, something, one of the things that happened, not to me this week, but that reminded me of the importance of mental toughness and resilience, was a very good friend was PCSing, And at the beginning of the week, and they're overseas, and they're PCSing back to the continental United States, back to CONUS. And at the beginning of the week, the military contracted movers came and packed up all their stuff, took it down. You know, they did all those inventory sheets that you're supposed to, hey, if something's missing or broken, just refer to your inventory sheet. But like every person who's trained or who fills in inventory sheets in the entire world, moving American service members, has been trained to write in, it's like Sanskrit, right? Like you don't even know what's in your own boxes and you'll never get the money. But anyway, they came and packed up my friend and his family and they said their goodbyes and, they were supposed to move into a hotel this week. If maybe they already did. They may already have. But then, just today, Friday, find out that they're not moving anymore, right? And so they're going to have to go through this process of getting the moving company rescheduled to bring all their stuff back, which means that, maybe they're still going to go to the hotel, but probably not, because if there's no PCS, the government's not going to pay for it, which means they're going to be in their house with a lot of their essential things for who knows, days, weeks, whatever. Cookware, kitchen stuff, all gone, which means more dining out. And, on the mental health side, when you get sort of whiplash like that and you've gone through those emotional ups and downs of, saying goodbye to all your good friends and preparing to move and packing up, and then you get totally turned around, like that can sometimes even if not even for yourself, maybe for your partner or your kids, like that can be a really challenging time mentally. And it can also turn into a challenging time financially, right? And as we talked about, 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks when we talked about the emergency savings fund, we talked about how the emergency savings fund entire purpose is to prevent a real world emergency that costs money from turning into a financial emergency for your family. And so, PCS season is a great time to think about that, because you're going to have additional expenses with dining out, with moving. Maybe you want to go see family and the government's not going to give you any sort of like en route deviations to the itinerary, so you got to do that on your own dime. And then on top of that, if suddenly the military, as they love to do, they change your orders last second, we could be talking about hundreds or thousands of dollars of unplanned expenses that hit during a PCS season. And that's when the emergency savings funds come into play, right? You don't just have them there to look at them. You use them when you need them, so that you don't have to rack up a credit card bill, have carryover payments because you had so many expenses in June or July that you can't quite make the payment for August 1st. So now you've carried some of the balance and you earned some interest and you're paying more in September and you're starting to feel this, sweat a little bit, feel the heat of falling behind. And so, that's why you have that emergency savings fund and that's why you use it. My thought was, man, and this is where I finally get back to the main theme of the show, right? Which is, what accounts do I need and how to get them, right? We've been talking for 4 weeks about how to take control of your money, manage your finances, start to budget and save and allocate that money between now, tomorrow, and the future. And, as we've mentioned time after time, right, like at a minimum, bare minimum, you need to be saving at least 15% of your total pay. And if you're doing only that, it's probably only for retirement, right? So you're just going to be a slave to the paycheck and, living on a very constrained budget after taxes and retirement contributions for the next 45 years. So you give up your 15% plus or minus, right? And in reality, it's going to change every year in your entire life as you get pay raises and as you have more or less savings. And, if you're enlisted in the military and you do 20 years, your retirement savings percent is going to start at like 29%. It'll go all the way down to 9. And if you're an officer and do 20 years, your retirement savings going to start right about at that 15% or 16% level, and it'll come all the way down to 5%, right? Because so long as you start at the beginning, you never have to catch up, and it gets cheaper and cheaper every year. But we've also said, like, you know, 15% is not enough. You got to save more than that. At a minimum, you should be saving your entire BAH allotment, assuming you get it. And then really what your goal is to get yourself on is to the military 40-40-20 rule, which says that you take your total compensation, like add whatever taxes were back in, so don't look after taxes, but the total amount of money you get, and save 40% of it. And then within that 40%, you know, it's split for the future and then for the next 5, 10, 20, 30 years, right? And so as you're, if you're hearing that and you're thinking about it, like you've probably already kind of come to the conclusion that you need multiple accounts. And, you know, if we just start where we're talking right now, which is the things we mentioned so far, right? And these are the things that also kind of match into the savings waterfall that we talked about in episode 2 of the podcast, the military savings waterfall, which is priority is to fill up your emergency savings fund and then to fill up your retirement savings in your thrift savings plan and then to start saving for other things, right? So if we unwind all this and we think about it, we have our checking account, right? Our basic checking account, and our money comes into there, our paycheck. Before the paycheck hits, some of it is going off to the thrift savings plan, right? Because the thrift savings plan as an employer-sponsored retirement plan, which is in contrast to an individual retirement account, an IRA, which is something you have to set up and you have to take money from your checking account and put it in. The thrift savings plan, the government does it for you, right? But it is your account. And you do have you become eligible to open that account after 60 days post-commissioning or post-enlistment, right? So basically, they don't want to give it to you right away just in case there's some medical issue or some legal issue that comes up or, you know, for whatever matter. So if we kind of look at the way this scheme works, right? We've got the checking account and we've got the thrift savings account. So that's 2. And all that does is it just checks where we get paid and where we're saving for retirement. Well, we've also said top priority next to the thrift savings plan savings is our emergency savings fund. Okay, so that's a 3rd account. And now what we've got is we've got the money we have for right now, like bill spending. We have our retirement for 45 years from now, and then we have our emergency savings fund that we're building up for, you know, whenever we need it. But we still don't have any accounts for the wealth creation, right? And so we're going to need a brokerage account, right? And a brokerage account is just like a thrift savings plan in that it's a special account that has special legal and like tax codes assigned to it. And so that any money that goes in and out of that account, just like any money that goes in and out of your thrift savings plan, gets tracked. And then it creates special, you know, tax forms and reports that will automatically be sent to you for reporting, right? So it's just a way to say, you know, if you give me $100, I can put it into a checking account. I can put it into a brokerage account. I can put it into a savings account. I can put it in any one of these accounts. But the brokerage account is special because within the brokerage account, now that money can legally be used to invest in stocks and bonds and mutual funds and exchange traded funds, options, if depending on the brokerage that you use. And if you, a lot of them have like quizzes that you have to pass in order to like engage in options trading. And then if you make profits, right? Excuse me. If you make profits in there, you can take some of those back and have them be tax-free, you know, under capital gains tax laws. Or you might get taxed on the profits. Well, if you put a bunch of money into your checking account and then you took it out later, like it wasn't invested in anything. You're not making profits. You're not losing money in your checking account, right? So there's nothing to report. But the brokerage account is special because you can make profits or you could have some losses. And those have, you know, effects that you have to worry about come tax time. So that it's a separate account. And some of the, in order for it to be a brokerage account, it has to be with a broker. And so those are names like Vanguard, Fidelity, Schwab, Robinhood. There's a bunch of others, right? TD Ameritrade, E-Trade. There are others too, right? But that, so depending on what your goals are, you know, you need one or maybe even more of those. Maybe your goal is to invest in stocks and you want to invest in Bitcoin. If you go to Vanguard, you're not going to be buying Bitcoin. So you might as well have a Vanguard brokerage and then go over to whether it's Coinbase or Femex or Gemini or Kraken or whatever. Get yourself a brokerage account over there with somebody who's set up to trade cryptocurrencies, okay? And so then that means we now have sort of this basic list of accounts that will get us going. We've got our checking account where our paycheck comes into. We've got our thrift savings plan where some money goes. We've got a brokerage where some money goes. And then we have our emergency funds in a separate account. It's not kept within our checking account, but it's a separate account. And it's a special one, right? And it's a high yield savings account. Now, if you're going to do this, and I highly recommend it because a high yield savings account is going to pay you 4-5% interest, which is about 500 times better interest than in a standard savings or checking account. And that can be real money. It'll make sure your emergency savings fund keep up with inflation. And that way, if you don't need it for the next 10 years, and then you have an emergency, well, like a new car, over 10 years, the cost of that car is going to go up considerably. You know, it'll go from like a $10,000 car to a $15,000 car for the same car, just from inflation. In your high-yield savings account, the $10,000 that you have saved is going to be going up just as quickly. And so in 10 years, when you finally do need it, you'll look in there and instead of being disappointed and finding that your emergency savings funds aren't enough to get the replacement car, you'll see that, oh, wow, I do have $15,000. That's amazing. I'm so glad I put this money into the high yield savings account way back when and earned this great interest. Okay. Now, the best thing you can do for opening a high yield savings account, most of them are online, right? They're fintech. If you're not familiar with the term, fintech is basically the new generation of banking. And so you go online and you're like, oh, wow, hey, this Relay Financial or Lily Bank or Chime. There's dozens out there, right? And what these are is they're total online entities. There's no actual brick and mortar bank that exists. They run the accounts. They have the licenses. They're insured. Your deposits are insured. And a lot of times they're backed up by like a real bank. But what that does for you is it means that you don't need to go into a real bank to find a high yield savings account. And you know, you're not going to get one from USAA or Navy Fed. They don't offer them. Most local and community banks don't offer them because they can't afford them. And that's how the banking industry works is a totally different conversation. You know, if I had you in class over the last few years at the Naval Academy, we definitely talked about it. If you're really interested, send me an email and I'll tell you. but anyway, the best thing to do is just Google high yield savings account and then like best of, and you'll get maybe like NerdWallet, some other smart asset. There's a bunch of blogs and newsletters and websites out there that make their money by presenting information. And then referral links, right? And so they'll show you like the top 10 high yield savings accounts in a table with links back to the online bank. So you can look at it and select the one that's best for you. Click the referral link. You go straight to that online portal. You open your account, fund your account, and set up your automatic monthly deposits, and it's good to go. The reason why I say do that, instead of saying use this one, there's two, is one, we're not sponsored by anybody, so if I refer you to somebody, I'm not going to benefit, so there's no point. But secondly, the accounts are all managed or structured kind of differently, right? And so you might be starting from scratch. Maybe you're, you know, sitting, maybe you just commission and you're at like entry-level officer training, or maybe, you know, you're a poolie and you're getting ready to ship off to boot camp, so you've got your contract signed, but you're just kind of hanging out this summer right now, waiting your turn. So you don't really have a paycheck right now. You don't quite have enough to, you know, start, just, you're starting from scratch, right? And so you'll find that certain high yield savings accounts or HYSAs allow you to have a zero balance or require $0 to start. And they might have a slightly lower interest rate. It might be 4.5% instead of 5, but that might be the right one for you because now you can open it and you don't have to come up with the funding right away, but you can set up that starting next month, you'll make your first $100 deposit. Or maybe you already have some money in a savings account and you're discovering now that that's a bad place to put it because it pays you zero interest, which means it loses value over time compared to inflation. But, you know, you have like $1,000 or $2,000, maybe $5,000. And so now you can find on that list of best HYSAs, you'll find one that maybe it's got the best interest rate. Maybe it's paying 5.25%, but it requires a $1,500 minimum balance. But you have that, right? So you pick the one that's right for you and get it going. And again, if you recall, we talked about it episode 2, and we also had a blog post on it. The emergency savings fund is at the top of the list. The things that you start with your very first paycheck, if at all possible, is to fund that and to fund your thrift savings plan. So you have to do it. It should be something you do this weekend, quite honestly. Or sorry, you know, this weekend, this week, whenever you listen to the podcast, finally. And then you set up the monthly deposits to it. And the cool thing is that you can do with some of them, and you know, this is a way that we kind of set up a lot of our accounts, is we do the math and so for example, we have we use Flagstar Bank for an HYSA, right? And so we have a goal to add $5,000 this year to our emergency savings fund, and to do it at a rate of, you know, $100 per week. And so then when we set up that automatic transfer into it, we can tell it to stop after a number of occasions. So we say after 50, right? Because after 50 of those, we've met our goal, and we don't want to keep throwing money in there because that money can go for other stuff. You know, maybe lattes, who cares? And so do that. You know, if you have figured out that you need to have about $4,000 in your emergency savings fund because you don't have a car, but you have some electronics and some other stuff, and you have to fly across the country. Maybe you're stationed in Alaska right now, but you're from Florida, so it's expensive to fly home, you know, and you need $4,000. Well, if you say I can afford $500 per month into that emergency savings fund, that's only 8 deposits, right? So you can just set it up, do it for 8 months. It will stop contributing after 8 months because you met your goal. And then lo and behold, in month 9, you'll be able to move on to the next thing and like open your brokerage account and I'll start putting money, that $500 each month, into your brokerage account and setting up automatic investments there. And this is really like the core, the checking account, the thrift savings plan, the brokerage, and your emergency savings fund that's in a high yield savings account. And you've successfully set up the accounts you need to get started working towards building wealth, securing your retirement, and having the peace of mind and financial security of an emergency savings fund. So now we have to talk about a couple things to make sure you're really considering when you have these accounts. All right. So first things first, that emergency savings fund. You cannot have a checkbook and you cannot have a debit card. They're going to ask you for it if you want one. Free, right? Anytime access. The answer is no. And why is that? Well, you don't want to accidentally have to, or not have to, you don't want to accidentally spend that money. You can imagine that you're out with friends having a good time on a Saturday. You went downtown, left base, you're downtown having a good time. Your money clip or your card, credit card falls out of your pocket. Or maybe you just forgot it at the last place because you were excited talking to somebody who you liked. Doesn't matter. You get to the next place and it comes time to pay the bill and you realize that credit card's gone. You still feel like you have to pay. You can't have a debit card for your emergency savings fund there that you can use, right? Especially under the peer pressure, right? You might know that you shouldn't do it, but peer pressure or just trying to impress people, you might still do it, right? You might spend 50, 70, 100 bucks. It may not sound like much, but remember, however you treat $10 is how you're going to treat $1,000. And so you have to protect yourself and you have to protect the money in that account from you doing stupid things or you forgetting or you being lazy. So you can't have a debit card and you can't have a checkbook tied to your emergency savings funds. And that's all right. It doesn't prevent them from helping you. Because if you get into an emergency and you need to spend money, remember the emergency fund is there so that emergency doesn't turn into a financial emergency. When you pay the credit card, you're going to have until the next month before the bill is due. So you just use your credit card, pay for the $1,000 phone, pay for the $800 paying ticket, pay for the $7,500 replacement car, and then go to your emergency savings fund and transfer money from it back into your checking account. Because the checking account's what is going to pay that bill. And you have until the end of the month to do it, right? So it's just a way of making it inaccessible, okay? Now, there's a couple other things that you should think about, okay? And they could lead to more or less accounts in your little financial system, all right? Now, who remembers being, you know, like maybe you're like 7 or 8 or 9, and your parents took you down to the bank where they do their banking, and they're like, hey, we're going to set up your own very own first checking account, and we're going to put some money in. They put like 20 bucks in it, and maybe throughout high school, you may have even actually used it, and you have some money in there. Maybe you didn't use it. Maybe you forgot about it, but you still have some money in there. Maybe your parents did the boomer thing, which is totally pointless, but they opened you a checking account and a savings account. And so you've had money for the last 10 or 15 or 20 years in a savings account. And it was, $117 back then in 2011. And today it's like $118 with the $1 in interest that you earned over that time, which proves to you that it's worthless and you should never have it, right? And my point here is as we're building out your little account portfolio or your little network of accounts, you've got to go back to those old checking and savings accounts and shut them down. The money is not doing you any good. In fact, it's becoming more worthless just sitting there. So go across the board, savings accounts, close them down. Pull the money out, can't close the account. It's not going to affect your credit. Nobody cares about savings accounts. And then for your checking accounts, maybe you just had that one, but then once you join the military, I'd be almost willing to bet my next paycheck on it that you were incentivized or maybe even bribed, maybe just ordered to like go down to USAA, go down to Navy Federal, go down to another like service-connected credit union or banking institution and open an account there with the promise that if you get your direct deposit paychecks put in there from DFAS, you're going to get it 1 to 2 days early because these are like military-friendly banks. And it's true, they are. And they offer some pretty good, because they're combine like banking and insurance institutions, they do offer some pretty good bundling discounts for you to get cheaper insurance, which you absolutely have to take advantage of, right? But the checking accounts and the savings accounts, there are no better than the checking accounts or savings accounts at whatever bank you use when you're in high school or a kid growing up, right? And so if you have multiple checking accounts, make a commitment to one and use it and make that your main account. So really what we're doing is we're saying go through everything and just simplify. We're not saying close down. We're not even talking about credit cards, right? We will talk about that in a future episode. So don't be listening to this and then go out there and like be like, oh, I had a credit card from, you know, Des Moines Credit Union. And well, I've had it since I was 15. I should just cancel that because I heard this guy say, close your old accounts from high school. No, not credit cards, because that oldest one is going to be your key to getting to a 700 and then a 760 and then an 800 credit score, right? So you don't do that to your credit cards. We're just talking about old checking and savings accounts. We're pooling all our cash and really, you know, make sure that you're financially stable. Then make sure your emergency savings fund is funded and reaches its goal. And then if you still got some left over, use it to open that brokerage account. Okay. But here's the one catch. I guess in the military, I should call it a caveat, but caveat's a warning. And I'm not really talking about a warning here. I'm saying this is an exception. If you can't trust yourself with your money, and I have one of my favorite and best students from the past couple of years, was very honest. He's like, I don't trust myself. I hear what you're saying and it all sounds great, but nope, I will just spend it. And so, you know, talking to him and what recommended in his case and what is a really essential thing to do, if that applies to you, is that you keep one of those other checking accounts alive, right? Let's say it's your hometown bank. Let's say you had a hometown bank checking account from when you were 8 years old. And then when you were, you know, 16 or 17, you want to get your first credit card from the credit union, but you had to have a membership there. So you just opened a checking account for the heck of it. And then you got in the military and you went to USAA and you opened a checking account there so you get your direct deposits. Well, that USAA account is now your main account. It's the hub to everything. It's all your paycheck goes in there and then you pay your bills out of there. You make transfers to your emergency savings fund out of there. You make transfers to your brokerage out of there. And then what you do, because you don't trust yourself, is you pick one of those other checking accounts. Let's say it's the high school credit union one. You keep that one alive. And then that becomes your fund, right? And so you also put your monthly spending allowance in your fund, and you have the only card that you have that you take with you when you go out. When you go shopping, when you go to the exchange, when you go with friends for food, when you go paintballing, if you go golfing, like whatever it is, the only card you ever take is that debit card to that credit union checking account. And let's just say you know, in your budget, you're like, I'm going to give myself, let's say you're an E3 with no debt and you live in the barracks, you're clearing, you know, just over, you know, we'll say just like maybe $22.50 a month from that first paycheck. You pay some bills and you put $200 into your credit union checking account, your fund. And then for the next 2 weeks until the 15th comes around, you only can live off that debit card and that $200, right? And so this way, by having that one old account that you now have turned into your spending account, you've created a way that you can start to trust yourself with money, right? You don't have to worry about spending the money in your USAA account or skipping a deposit to your brokerage account because you overspent. And you don't even have to worry so much about credit cards, right? Because you're just walking around with that debit card that you know has $200 in it and it's got to last you for the next 15 days. And then you're going to give yourself another $200 re-up, right? So that's the basics, right? You're not trying to get messy and have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 accounts when you get started. You really need to open two. You're opening three, right? The thrift savings plan, you have to set it up. It's being opened for you, but you still have to set it up, create your login, set up the transfers. So I guess we can count it. So you really have to create three, right? You have to create a thrift savings plan. You have to create your high yield savings account, and you have to create your brokerage account. And then you may have to go in and cancel some older accounts. And that's it. And now you're set up. And you can take all of the recommendations and strategies that we've talked about in the first 4 weeks as far as how much to save and where to save it, where to put it. You know, and if you are going to follow, continue to follow along, you know, we'll get more in depth into the how much goes into each of these. And, you know, if you want to go over to our website, www.militarywealthcoach.com, and you'll see a couple different opt-in options, right? If you opt in just to our email list and become a subscriber for the weekly emails, you know, you'll stay up to date with our blog posts and our podcasts, but then you'll also be notified as soon as we publish our next book, which we're planning to publish towards the end of August, which is going to be The Ultimate Retirement Plan. And that one's going to tell you exactly, you know, how to figure out how much to put into the thrift savings plan and exactly how much to put into your brokerage account. You know, so you'll be able to continue to work on and refine and improve your personal finances going forward and kind of fill up these accounts, right? And then after that, you know, I'm not even going to put a deadline on it for myself right now because it's a lot of work. But when War Chest gets published, War Chest is going to, that's the basic budgeting book. You're going to see in there how you could take what we talked about today, which was four basic accounts, and how you continue to expand your financial system as your income grows, as your wealth grows, as you get more investments. And it also is going to show you exactly how to integrate once you find that special someone and you know, put your smash your lives together. We won't even go into that, right? But it gets crazy once that happens. And you know, one thing that I can tell you is that by the time you get into your 30s, maybe earlier, right? But having accounts that match up to needs and goals is essential, right? And so it's just kind of like a quick preview or teaser. Once you fill up your emergency savings fund, HYSA, and you're ready to start saving cash into like a war chest that has funds you can use to invest in real estate, you got to open up another high-yield savings account. If you have a goal of saving up $20,000 in, well, let's say, you know, in the next 5 years or 6 years in order to use a VA loan and buy a house, go open up a third high-yield savings account. Keep your money separate. Keep it earmarked. Keep it flowing. And then make sure that it's earning interest or it's earning investment returns. And by the time you're in your mid-to-late 30s or your 40th birthday, you're going to have like 20-plus accounts, right? If you open businesses, you'll have even more. But right now, where you need to start is those four. And so you've got your checking account, you've got your thrift savings plan, you've got your high-yield savings account, and you've got your brokerage account. And then if you don't trust yourself with money, you've got a fifth account, which is that fund, and it's your other checking account. All right. Well, hey, I guess one thing that we're finding out is that no matter how much time I think I want to take, I always take a bit more. But hopefully this episode, you know, really helped kind of like put some concrete steps in place for you, helped you kind of visualize what you need to do and how you can take the strategies and the tips that we've covered over the past month and a half in our blog and our podcast about savings rates and investment accounts and, you know, emergency savings, and giving you the practical steps that you can take to set them up and make it happen for you. Or you can look us up on our socials. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, X, usually under MWC112358. Or you can just head to our website, www.militarywealthcoach.com and find direct links to all of our socials and whatever social platform it is that you like. Please follow, subscribe, like, repost, and help us get the word out there and grow the community. All right, so until next time, thanks for tuning in. Stay financially fit and mission ready.